You know, darkness is something that's scary to a lot of people. Darkness comes, light dispels darkness, but darkness cannot dispel light. When Jesus came into the world, he came into the world and was told by many that he was the light of the world. It said that in Isaiah and other places. The prophets were foretelling the coming of Christ. The Christmas story begins in darkness. There was the darkness of oppression in Jesus' day, as there is in our day today. For God's people at that time were a conquered people. Rome had control of Israel, and the Jewish people at the time were a conquered people. They were a beaten and defeated people. There was darkness of persecution, and indeed, it was a despised taxation system which kept them, a lot of them, under the thumb of Roman rule. There was darkness and disillusionment. There was an ever-increasing number of violence. Not faith was the most effective path in that particular time in Israeli history. On that first Christmas, though, the mood was one of despair and resignation. And thus it was then, as it is now, we too live in a world of darkness. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's hunger, there's unemployment, there's racism, there's loneliness. There's just a sense of emptiness. Perhaps the poet Robert Frost worded it the best when he wrote this: "I have been acquainted with the night. I have walked in the rain, in and out of rain, and I've been acquainted with the night." I don't think I have to tell any of you about darkness, because in one form or another, we've all experienced darkness in our life. Thus, we do not come here this evening to be naive and deny the existence of darkness, because it does exist. But nowhere in Scripture do we receive a pep talk and an argument that things aren't really as bad as they seem. Rather, it affirms the darkness, that it is real and it is present. I want to share with you this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. And I share with from the New Living Translation of God's Holy and Precious Word. Hear God's Word. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested — we've been talking about John the Baptist for the last few weeks, and John ended up in jail, and John sent a message to his through his disciples and said, "Are you really the one? Are you the one, Jesus?" So he knew that John the Baptist was arrested. So Jesus left Judea to return to Galilee. But instead of going to Nazareth, he went to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in a region, Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah when it said, "In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where there are so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has been shown." From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You see, it affirms that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "People who walk in darkness have seen a great light." In John's gospel, it records that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thus, we come together tonight and sing words of praise and thankfulness. "Yet in the dark street shineth everlasting life." But history records a very interesting footnote. Especially in the South, we talk about forgiveness and love and reconciliation. Our country was torn not too many years ago between the North and the South, and we had a civil war. Now we look back on history and we see that our country was reconciled. Even when we fought the British for our freedoms, we now have reconciled with Great Britain, and we have now reconciled in our country between the South and the North. But there's an interesting thing that happened during that particular war. And it's recorded in history during a very, very dark winter night in 1864 at Petersburg, Virginia. The Confederate Army, Robert E. Lee, faced the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant. The war was now about 3.5 years old, and the glorious charge had long since been given way to the mire and the muck and the trench and the warfare. People were just slap wore out. Late one evening, one of General Lee's messengers came, and he said, "Major General George Pickett received word that his wife has given birth to a beautiful baby boy." Up and down the line, the Southerns began to start building bonfires in celebration of this glorious event. Now, these fires didn't go unnoticed, though, to the Northern camps or the Northern troops. And soon, a very nervous Grant sent out a reconnaissance patrol to see what was going on. They scoured the area and then returned with a message that Pickett had a son, and these were celebration fires. And it so happened that Grant and Pickett were contemporaries at West Point. I think we forget that brothers were fighting against brothers and cousins against cousins, and it was just a mess. They were contemporaries at West Point, and they knew each other well. So to honor the occasion, Grant also ordered that bonfires should be built. What a peculiar night that was. For miles on both sides of the lines, these fires burned and not one shot was fired. No yelling back and forth. No war fought. Only light celebrating the birth of a child. But it didn't last forever. And soon the fires burned down. And once again, darkness took over. And the darkness of night and the darkness of war. The good news, though, of Christmas is that in the midst of deep darkness, there comes a light. And the darkness was not ever to overcome that light. It was not just a temporary flicker. It's an eternal flame. And we need to remember that there are times and events in the world in which we live that our own personal lives have touched, and that we feel that the light in our own life sometimes has been snuffed out. But the Christmas story affirms that whatever happens, that light will shine. The light and the grace of the Holy Spirit shines within all of us, giving us hope. The ancient Hebrews were afraid of the darkness. I don't know about you, but I was afraid of the darkness when I was a kid. I used to look underneath my bed to make sure there wasn't anything in there because the room was so dark. I wanted to make sure there wasn't no critters or something under there going to come out and get me. But the ancient Hebrews were terrified of the darkness, and particularly a place that they were known as the outer darkness. To them, creation began when God said, "Let there be light." You know, the spoken word is so powerful. God spoke this into existence. That's why we have to be careful with our spoken words and how we treat one another, because once those words are spoken, they're out there. We can never get them back. We can say all the "I'm sorry" and all that we want. So we need, as James says, we need to learn to control our tongue and make sure that whatever comes out of our mouth is edifying and encouraging. Now, we can disagree with folk, but we don't have to be saying nasty things about them, because we need to have that reconciliation. Darkness was there, and void and emptiness was there. So what a great meaning of hope must have been when they heard that Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world. And we need to hear these words at Christmas time as families all around the world. We got families in Syria and Israel and in the Palestinian areas in Egypt. And that whole Middle East is on fire. Both Jewish and Palestinians and Gentiles and others are hurting, and they're overwhelmed with grief. You can turn on the television and it's so sad to see war and little babies underneath all that rubble and people out there getting them out. They need to hear the light of Christ. We need to be able to share with families the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, not only in our area here at Bethel, but also in the ends of the world. We need to share that love and grace. Thank God for missionaries, for people that are going out and sharing in other parts of the world. But we need to start right here in our own community. There's folks out here. I went around the community and passed out flyers this past week, inviting people to come to the candlelight service. And you could just tell by driving around the neighborhoods and talking to some of the people, there's a lot of hurt in our own area that we need to try to minister to the best that we know how. Because Christ is the answer. Christ is the reason for the season as we gather tonight. As you walk outside this evening, and we're going to leave here, and we're going to go outside, and we're going to light candles, and we're going to go outside, and we're going to form a circle, and we're going to sing. And it probably won't get too dark. We were thinking it would probably be dark by now, but it probably won't be too dark. But the symbolism is to share with the neighborhood that the light of Christ lives here and in our hearts. Light is always stronger than the darkness. And the forces of light are always stronger than those forces. And our greatest need in our own mixed up and confused life, and I don't know about you, but I get mixed up and confused a lot sometimes, that we need to know that there's hope. You see, not all people understand or receive hope. Not like the politicians talk about, but the hope that something much better ahead for us. I like to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said in Romans, that if we only had this life to look forward to, the life that we see in front of us, if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because the birth, the ministry, the resurrection and the crucifixion and all of that, we have hope of eternal life. Because the grave didn't hold Jesus. He was raised from the dead, giving us symbolism, yes, but also assurance that there's something much better ahead. We have eternal life. And we need to hang on to that and share with people so that they can be encouraged, not discouraged, to a point of despair in their life. In Jesus Christ, we cling to that hope of life and overcomes death, that love conquers all hate and all truth will prevail over falsehood. As we are the people of light, and we must share that light in a dark and dreary land. So why do you think that God chose to use a star to the wise men to guide them to a place where the Christ child was born? Now, I'm convinced that it was not by accident. It was an eternal reminder to them and to us in a sea of darkness. It is the light that keeps us going forward, in the light of hope and the light of Christ that leads us to a way that dispels gloom and despair. That doesn't mean that you won't have trials and tribulations in this life. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trials and tribulations, but fear not, for I've overcome the world. And we've also know that all things work together for good, even trials and tribulations, because they strengthen us. They strengthen our faith. So it's my prayer in the light of this Christmas season that we will shine our light into the dark corners of places that need light, not only in the neighborhoods, but maybe in your own life too, that you will discover that pathway to Bethlehem. Gracious and loving God, we thank you as we come and celebrate this particular season, Lord. And we know that there's many people out there hurting and many people that really don't understand the freedom that is given to us by being a Christian and lifting you up and inviting you to come into our life. So, Father, we pray a special prayer that if anybody here tonight just never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, that you would just minister to their heart. Because it's a simple prayer for simple people. And I prayed this prayer many years ago, and I'm so grateful because I'm a life that was changed, and I've never been the same again. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. If you're everything that they say that you are, and I watch people, and I see people that claim to be Christians, and they do have a sense of freedom about them, I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it too. But it's also a good time of the year just to stop and say, Lord, I've drifted away from you and I need to recommit my life to you. What a joy that is. We're looking for a church home. This is the best kept secret in Tallahassee, this little church known as Bethel United Methodist Church. It's a big little church and it's a little church that is just has a such a big heart and such a ministry, that you would consider being an official part of this church. We'd love to talk to you about it. And we thank you for that tonight.